Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton, Favor Life, The Process of There. We welcome you today to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be encouraged in your walk of faith, to even understand that there is a process to your walk of faith. There is a result that God is using your everyday life to shape you, even as you face small trials, small tests, even large ones. God uses that to shape you, to make you, to push you, to reprove you, to refine you, so that your faith will be genuine, so that your process will result in fruit that brings a reward here in the earth and in glory. God uses our everyday life to refine us in such a way that it draws other people to Him, that it encourages other people, that we're the salt, the light, the one that is able to help someone by a lifestyle that gives God glory and makes someone who doesn't know Jesus curious, because they see the things that you face, but they see how you face it, and they see the outcome of victory. So it makes them wonder about your God and wonder about your lifestyle of worship unto Him, and God uses that to draw them. But in the process, He's making you. He's shaping you. He's letting you see where you are. He's letting you see your place in Him and how you're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God always chooses unlikely people for His purpose and His plan, and I love it because He chooses the people that other folks would not choose. And God has chosen us for such a time as this. And as we grow line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith, we will become more and more like Him. When God chooses a person, an individual, a family, a nation, a tribe, He does it because there is something that He wants to see in that person, in that tribe, in that family, in that nation that brings Him glory, brings Him honor and praise. So I'm so grateful that He's chosen us and that Jesus died for us and rose for us with all power so that we would be heirs and joint heirs with Him to this blessed salvation and every benefit that comes with it through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are here and we are going to be looking further into the destiny and faith. We're going to be looking further into what God is doing, and we're going on Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." And we understand that trust basically here means to rely on God, to depend on God, to trust Him. And it's just this trust that we have is a trust that says, "I rest assured confidently in your plan for me, in your destiny for me." And we understand that this is a command that we are to trust God. The same way that faith is a command that we have to walk by faith, that it's impossible to please God without faith, so it is we are to trust God and trust what He's doing in our lives, trust where He's taking us and how He's leading us. We acknowledge God when we trust Him. We acknowledge Him and understand that we're in the process of growing and learning about Him. And as we acknowledge Him, we observe Him, we put Him first. And we understand that as we put Him first in our lives and we allow Him to be the one who leads us and guides us, we begin to have the mind of God. We understand the voice of God. We learn more about God and His word and His ways. We learn His mind and His spirit. And as we do this and we grow and we expand, we're seeing God move in our lives in such a way that someone else is going to be blessed. We're going to bear fruits of righteousness. God is the ordainer of destiny. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So He started your destiny. He started it before the foundations of the earth. The same way the Bible talks in the book of Isaiah about Jesus being crucified in the mind of God way before the foundations of the earth, He saw you and me and everyone else before Jesus ever came. He saw us, and that is the reason why He was able to allow grace and the animal sacrifices until Jesus came, because He saw the result, the end result, the fruit of what was going to happen after Jesus came. So He was able to be appeased with animal sacrifices until Christ came and paid the ultimate sacrifice, and there would be no more animal sacrifices ever needed because Jesus paid it all. But He saw us before time. He saw us and he knew us and he desired us. So our destiny started the moment that God desired us to be part of his family. He began to work his will, even when we didn't understand it, didn't know it, didn't even comprehend that there was a God that loved us so much. He began to work a destiny for us that we didn't even understand. And he began to put us in the plan, in the path of his divine will. And once we said yes, because the Bible says he knows already who will belong to him, who will say yes to him, but he gives everyone the opportunity to say, okay, I receive Jesus. I want him as Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. I want to live forever with God. Okay, he gives everybody that opportunity. But if they do not choose it, he already knew, because he understands and knows everything from beginning and end. And so because of that, he already knew you were going to belong to him. He already knew the path and the destiny that he had for you, and he began you on that process, in that process of walking according to the plan that he had, making you and shaping you. When you trust God, you follow and acknowledge him in your life. All of your steps, you're saying, God, is this your will? Is this your way? What do you have to say about this? You acknowledge him. You're trusting him, and you're not trying to make your own way. That is hard for us. As I said yesterday, we are taught from the beginning, when we were very small, to be independent and to be strong and independent and to make decisions and to make things happen and to make moves. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we're not independent of God. We are dependent on God. We depend on him. We depend on his love, his mercy, his grace. We depend on his leading and his guidance. We depend on his blessings. We depend solely on God because we understand by depending on him, we trust the way that he leads us. We trust the way that we take in him. We trust the path that he's given us, the destiny that he has for us. And when you trust God, you're saying, God, whatever way you take me, I believe and I know, just like Abraham had already in his mind saw Isaac dead. The Bible says Isaac was as good as dead because Abraham, by faith, trusted God that the destiny that he had for him, that the purpose that he had for him was not going to end with this so-called sacrifice. He knew too much about God's character. He knew too much about God's word and God's command. And he knew that there's no way that God could give him a promise, and the promise through Isaac, and then allow the promise to die. So he was confident in knowing that just as he promised Isaac and Isaac showed up, that the promise was going to continue and it was going to be everything that he said. So it is with our life. We have to trust God to know that no matter where we're at, no matter what we face, the purpose of God is not going to end there in our sorrow, in our pain, in our tough time, in a difficult time when we don't know what to do. But as we trust God, we know that it will work for our good, that everything is going to work together, that God is going to cause victory even when we can't see it, don't understand it, don't know it, have no clue. It's going to work together because God is so powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, that he knows how to make things happen immediately. He can command a miracle. He can command favor, an open door, an opportunity. And I'll trust with the destiny that he has for us, says God, I depend on you. When you trust God with your life, with your destiny, then you're saying, God, whatever you will, whatever you say, I'm willing to follow it. We have someone online, and we're going to take this call and see if they have a question at this time, and find out if I can answer that question. Hello, welcome to Favor Life, the process of there. I'm Pastor Saxton. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hello?
Hello, this is Pastor Saxton from Favor Life, the process of there. Do you have a question or comment at this time?
I have a question. My name is Paul, and I'm a new parent looking for some advice in regards to my 8-month-old son, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a little bit confused. It's very, he basically cries all the time, and he's just, pulling at his penis in a non-sexual way. He's a baby, he's 8 months, but I'm thinking that I don't know if he wants it off of his body. I'm thinking he may be transgender baby. Is that possible?
I don't think that's what's going on with him. Maybe there's something medical. You might need to talk with your doctor to find out there's something medical. Are you a Christian believer?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Then we have the weapon of prayer. And we can begin to pray and ask God, okay, show me what I need to know. Holy Spirit, you are very present help in the time of trouble. Show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to pray over my child to help him, because the child does not know.
Hang on, shush. Do you want to shush? So, but I'm thinking, do I need to give him a sex change operation? That's what I think. He may be a girl.
No. You need to pray and ask the Lord what's going on with the child. You need to pray.
Take him to the Lord to find out if
there's anything wrong with him physically.
The Lord has been telling me that it may be a girl, and plus my wife and I already painted his nursery pink. We bought all girls' clothing, girls' toys. I found one doctor in Mexico that has been sending me baby hormones to try and help with the sex change. Do you think I should do this?
You need to seek the Lord. According to, if this child was born as a boy, then mm-hmm. he is a boy. Could it be possible that maybe you and your wife are going to have a child later that will be a girl?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
So
I know with
right
this
now,
baby.
Right now, you know, because you could possibly want a girl so bad that that something else is going on. But this child is a male child right now. He was born a male, and that is not a mistake.
I have a question. Do you think he's too young now to remember his original sexuality, right?
No, he was born a male child.
What if I bring him to a doctor that's agreed to do the sex change to turn him into a girl? Is that a good idea?
I don't think so. I don't think
Why?
So.
Why?
Because if he was born a male child, that's not a mistake. That
you
want
to talk to him?
God does not make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. The child was born a male, and therefore, because he was born a male, there's a purpose for him. There's a plan for him, and you need to, as a Christian, pray and find out, God, what is it that I need to do? How do I need to pray and lead my son so that he becomes the man that you called him to be?
I give him the choice between, you know, a girl's toy and a boy's toy, and he always wants to play with a girl's toy.
But he's a child. Children will sometimes pick up something that belongs to a girl, or sometimes pick up something that belongs to a boy. It depends.
He also likes the hormone pills I've been giving him.
But you're the parent. You're giving him something.
I leave 5, 6, 7 of those hormone pills in his crib, her crib, and they're gone when I come back.
Children will eat things, but I think, as I said before, you need to talk to your pastor. You need to talk mm-hmm. to your pastor. Are you really, really
I think
really
I need to give him the sex. Do you want to talk to him?
I think I need to talk to you, because you're the parent, and you really mm-hmm. need to seek the Lord and talk to your pastor about.
So I shouldn't cut his penis off.
I don't believe you should. He was born as a boy. He was born as a male.
I'm not sure, though. And I mean, what about the room that we painted pink?
That was your decision. That was your choice. You painted the room pink. You did that. These were your choices, and because they were your choices, you and your wife agreed that this is what you wanted. But when the child was born male, then you were supposed, even if you were disappointed, you were supposed to still take the child and love the child and now raise the child. And someday, if the Lord willing, you have another child, it would be a girl, then you go through that process of experiencing that girl and experience that girl in your life.
But my wife won't have sex with me now. My wife won't have sex with me. She's like, no, Danny is a girl, and we need to change it for Jesus.
You need to talk to your pastor. You really do need to talk to your pastor. your pastor, and you need to really bring these issues. You guys need to sit down and talk to your pastor about this. This is a very, very, this is something you cannot take lightly and you cannot rush into. You really need to seek the Lord and the Word of God concerning this.
Should I bring him to Mexico? Because there's a doctor in Mexico that will do the surgery.
You need to talk to your pastor. You need to go and seek leadership. This is something you cannot go into very lightly or rushed, because this child was born a male, and as a Christian, there are guidelines for us through the Word of God. So that's
just because we painted the room pink, and I really don't think it was born as a male. It's really a girl. I think the best thing to do is probably, I spoke with my pastor, and he said, "You're crazy. Get out of here." So now the only help I have now is this surgeon in Mexico who has been sending us hormones. The baby has taken the hormones. It's already growing little breasts.
This is not good. You really, according to the Word and because according to the standard of God, you really need to go and seek the Lord. You really, really need to go and seek the Lord. This is not something, a path that you should go down.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.